Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Love so strange. Said you now, no, no.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
I try my best.
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Happy Thursday to you.
Yeah, weekend's right around the corner. We haven't had this kind of intro in a while.
I know.
We've been kind of going to audio quickly and et cetera, but we haven't had our main intro. No practice today to go to, so we had our morning free.
I got
to
tell you this, man. This is so funny.
We'll be the judge of that.
It's not funny, but it is kind of fun. My son is home with my wife during the summer here, and they listen to the first hour of our show before he goes, down for nap. That song
Shout
right
out
there,
Owen.
And I'm sure he's listening right now. That song right there has become his favorite song in the entire world. My wife said, in the most literal sense, she said, no exaggerating, that song got played 30 times yesterday. It was the last thing we did last night before we went to sleep. Lights are off, sound machine's on. He's sitting in my lap, and we're playing that song off my cell phone. First thing he wants this morning, daddy song. Daddy
Love
song.
Love it. How so cool is that?
He's starting to get the word.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
it's super cute.
That is great. I love that. Yeah. I love that. It's a catchy tune.
Yeah,
so
it's terrific.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And we got our morning back this morning. It's a day off at training camp,
yeah.
So we got to get back into what would be the normal flow. What did you do with your time this morning?
Rested up. Needed a rest. Had golf. Golf last night.
Yeah, I saw you.
Where'd
you play?
Cherry Creek.
All right.
My buddy Marsico and
what's up, Marsico?
Yeah. We handle our business on the course, and Dan Clark and Donnie Strasburg. So we had a good time. We had a good time out there. It's always weather was nice. So it was fun. But anytime I play after work, like I wake up the next morning sore. I don't know. I'm just sore. My swing is jacked up, and I'm just a little sore the next morning. So slept in, just relaxed. It was nice. So that was nice, not because we've been in that routine of getting up and having to
get out to training camp.
Right, get to training camp, get to practice, get ready to go. So the morning off, not only is it nice for the players, right, the day off of no practice for the players, it's also nice for us.
We got
the day off also, and had a great listener out there that was playing behind us, and we kind of held him up, not my fault, other guys in our group that were looking for balls a lot. Richard Anderson, shout out to him.
What's up, Richard Anderson?
He big listener. He said, "Hey, you got to give me a shout out. I'm gonna be listening." I said, "Okay, I'll give you a shout out." So it was good chatting with them, him and his buddy. So, but good day for me. How about you?
I love it, man. Yeah, it was. I had to leave the show early, go to a dentist appointment.
Oh, that's right. How'd that go for you?
Not good. Not good.
What do you mean by not good?
What's the worst case scenario the dentist can tell you when you're sitting in there in a tail?
You're screwed. This is worse than I thought. You're going to need a root canal? I don't know.
Bingo. Root canal.
Oh.
Yep.
And so is that later or did that happen yesterday?
No, they scheduled it out to the 24th. But I'm like, are you kidding
me? So now
me?
You have to do, you were hoping to get that knocked out.
Right.
And done, over with.
And it was too late. They closed at 4. They figured it out at 3:30. They're like, hey, you're not going to be able to do it right now. And then they're like, you got to schedule you out. So all good. It's going to suck. There's no two ways to slice it. But I'm going to be just fine.
You'll make it through it?
I'm going to be all right.
But that's not what you wanted to hear.
That's not
what you wanted to hear.
No, it's really not. He told me, hey, root canals, in the last handful of years, like the worst part is just taking the shot. Like you're going to be good. You're in and out, an hour, you're good. So we'll see.
Of course he said, what else is he going to tell you?
it's going to suck.
Right. Hey, this is going to be awful, buddy. Buckle up. You know, so, I mean, like, it's like the doctor after a surgery. He's never going to tell you that, hey, I did a bad job.
Yeah.
Surgery didn't go well here, buddy. That ACL that I was supposed to repair.
Hold on.
Awful.
Speaking of that, I got to get something off my chest here.
Uh-oh.
All right. We're going to go into, checking in on the quarterback battle after a week of training camp. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But when you just said what you just said right now, the surgeon's never going to get up after you wake up and say, hey, I did a terrible job.
Yeah.
We are watching a show right now that is getting rave reviews with Joshua Jackson. Remember Joshua Jackson, the actor?
No.
He was, what was Joshua Jackson in? He was in he was a really big deal as a young actor like 20 years ago.
Perfect.
The Skulls and other stuff, whatever.
Okay.
Alec Baldwin, you know Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
There is a show right now called Dr. Death. Have you heard of this?
Ooh.
Dr. Death? On Peacock, it's a true story about a surgeon that went rogue over a period of time, over years. And because hospitals are so scared to get sued, because the examples of hospitals losing lawsuits for hundreds of millions of dollars, what the protocol is they just get the doctor out of the hospital.
Right, yeah.
And what does that doctor go do?
Yeah, to another hospital.
Go works at another hospital.
Is this overseas?
No, this is here in America. Oh. It is a true story. Famous podcast that blew up a couple years ago that we listened to that was, it's just scary as hell. And this dude is a psychopath with a medical degree.
Wow.
And it's a fascinating show. If you get a chance to check it out, it is a thriller that will leave your stomach in knots and on the edge of your seat if you're into that type of thing to give yourself anxiety and nightmares.
Mm. I prefer not to. Yeah.
Okay.
I just prefer to try to, go to bed calm.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to go to sleep. I don't need that looming over me.
Right.
There's enough things that go through your head, right?
Right.
So I might pass on that one.
Okay.
You didn't do a good job of selling it. You need to take your dentist's advice a little bit better and sell it a little bit differently. I know it's going to be fine, man.
But if you're in dramas
so much advancement in medicine, that little shot, it won't hurt. Then after that, everything's numb. You won't feel it.
Lordy. All right. I'm going to watch it before my root canal. We're midway through the open to the public training camp practices.
So you took off work for nothing, really?
No.
Got nothing accomplished. Just know that you need a root canal.
But I wouldn't. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Golly. I wouldn't know if I didn't take that appointment.
That's true.
They gave me some amoxicillin, because there's, the reason I'm getting the pain because there's an infection in there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So we'll see. All right. We're midway through. We're actually more than halfway through the open to the public training camp practices. How would you summarize the quarterback battle that we've seen thus far to someone who hasn't been at any practice?
Some good, some bad. No separation between the two. They've kind of gone back and forth here recently. We've seen just a bunch of jabs being thrown from each guy. Nothing that really has said, oh, man, that guy is really separated from the other guy. So really close competition that could go either way. It's just really getting started. There's a lot left in this competition. And when you get to preseason games, those will matter a little bit more. But it's a bulk of everything. And right now, it's a coin flip competition. It really is very, very close. This is kind of what we expected and thought it might look like. Didn't think there was going to be separation from one over the other. Pretty close competition coming down the stretch here. And got probably 2 weeks before they make the decision. 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously going to need to make it by the Giants week, you hope. But sooner rather than later would be ideal. I just think it's just really getting started because real football is getting started for them. They haven't, quarterbacks, it's easy to kind of just mosey on around. You get pressure from the blind side. You just kind of, roll out of the pocket and that guy runs by you. Then you throw a completion. And for us, it looks like, oh, okay, well, I couldn't tell if that guy would have got him or not. But nice completion, fans.
Right,
clap.
Right.
But in real football, he gets sacked, fumble, he's getting hit. And they haven't done that yet. They will be doing that, obviously, in preseason games. That's the only time that we'll see quarterbacks getting hit. They're not going to get hit against the Vikings. the party's just getting started, really. You know, just having appetizers right now. But it's close.
This is Vic Fangio yesterday. His thoughts on the quarterback battle thus far.
You know, it was up and down. Obviously, we'd like to not end those drives there to go win the game with interceptions, but that's why we practice. You know, we obviously need a lot of work, and we'll continue to get a lot of work.
Okay, and I guess that was specific to yesterday, not a litmus test on the...
You know, I heard... Well, what do you make? How do you summarize what we've seen? Do you agree with kind of what I said there? I mean, yeah, how do you view this?
I do. I would probably editorialize it a little bit more with... Everything you said is true. They're kind of neck and neck. They're kind of throwing jabs. No real separation. Of course, I agree with you on this is not ultimately what it's going to look like. And when it does look like real football here in just a week here, we're going to see the Vikings play the Broncos next weekend after joint practices on the back end of this coming week. Is that really the, you know, when Vic said, hey, 98% of the evaluation is going to be training camp and beyond, the OTA stuff is just 2%?
Say that again?
When Vic said, was asked, hey, how much of the evaluation is in OTAs? He said about 2 to 3%.
Yeah.
The other 97% is going to be training camp and beyond.
Right.
Within that 97%, What is the preseason games compared to everything else?
So I'm trying to break down that 97% of the value of the preseason games. I think they matter a lot. How much will they play? Obviously, you know, if you're only getting, you know, 10 passing attempts, I mean, how much can you read into 10 passing attempts? That's difficult. So I think it depends on how much they play. But I think it means more than practices because it's real football. But also, you know, you're not going to practice awful and play good in the preseason games, and then that, you know, overtakes how bad you practice for, you know, 20 practices over just two games, right? So there's a balance there. I don't know what I would say
it's tricky because you're talking about the practices. That's not a true reflection of what purpose of your evaluation.
So it's kind
of
all together, all encompassed. Zach, put it all in there together. How much of it, though, does it... I mean, just, I would say, how about half? How about half? Half practice?
Half practice, half preseason
half
games?
Half preseason games.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of off the top of my mind. But something like, I mean...
There's no science to it.
Everything is going to be evaluated, obviously. Everything matters. And I don't think the games will outweigh, you know, bad practices. I don't think... you know, good practices will outweigh bad games. I think they both carry pretty much the same amount of weight. They all matter, and I don't think they'll judge it by like, okay, you know, this guy played really good in the games. I know he hasn't practiced well, but you know, since we said that's where 75% of it, he's going to get the job.
Yeah,
it's kind of all of it together. Throw it in that blender, and then you know, let's see who has done the best with both things, practice and the preseason games.
Okay, so this is really interesting, and I've heard Merrilat talk about this and even heard him with you yesterday, I think, a little bit touching on this. Is this entire competition that it's just this snapshot of the 50% here, the 50% there, these training camp practices, the very limited reps in preseason games, is this kind of a nearsighted fool's errand that you're having a quarterback competition that gets boiled down to training camp practices that don't really have a reflection of football and a super limited reps? How many passes are they going to throw in preseason games? Maybe 30 total. That might even be high. Maybe it's high 20s, low 30s, whatever. Yeah. So we're going to have you're going to decide who's the Denver Broncos quarterback on training camp practices that isn't real football and about 30 passes in preseason games. Where in reality, we have years of tape with Teddy Bridgewater. We have over a season of football on tape, big boy football, NFL football with Drew Locke to draw an evaluation or conclusions from. And we're going to reduce this very important decision down to this kind of really, really, really unfocused, unscientific, brief evaluation.
Yeah, it's not what you want to do. obviously, it's not a great situation to be in when you have these competitions. But what else can you do when the past history for both of these guys is not good enough to just say, you're our starter? So, you know, and things change. Things change. Guys improve. Guys regress. Guys get worse. So you don't know what they're going to look like this year. And like I said, neither one of these guys have done enough to just say, okay, yeah, Drew, you're going to be our starter this year. They couldn't do that after last year. They can't trade for Teddy Bridgewater after the year that he had. Say, Teddy's going to be our starter this year. So that you're kind of stuck doing it this way. Unfortunately. I think I've said not ideal here, you know, talking about this quarterback competition a million times here in the last 2 weeks, but that's what it is. It's just not ideal. It's not what you want to have going on in on your football team and your organization. Quarterback competition. When you got two guys that haven't performed very well the year before, what do you do? You can't hand it to one of them.
Yeah.
So they got to compete, but you're right. It's a really limited sample size, and in this competition, you're not going to have one guy run away from the other guy. So it's going to be one of those things where it's going to come down to really who do the coaches trust?
Right.
And who do they think won't hurt them?
Right.
Won't get them beat?
And ultimately, what I'm trying, like the conclusion I'm trying to arrive at is I don't think we're going to know anything different in 4 weeks about either guy than we know right now.
I agree. Drew's not going to go out there and all of a sudden look like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and Teddy's not going to go out there and look like Tom Brady. So what are we going to learn here, really? I mean, who can operate the best in the Broncos offense with the talent that the Broncos have around them? Maybe to a little bit, right? I mean, not a lot, because how much are they actually out there doing it?
It's just the more I think about it, I'm just going back to the question that I asked you. I said we're midway through the open to the public training camp practices. How would you summarize what you've seen from the quarterbacks? And you said it's been 50-50, even, no real separation, both guys throwing jabs. And what I said I agree with everything you said, but I would editorialize it more, meaning that I co-sign everything that you said, but in addition to that, saying, I am so uninspired. I am so unimpressed. Neither guy, like, I go back to what you said through the years with me here, is like, you're in the stinking NFL. If we're out there watching every rep that you're taking, we should have a couple good moments. You're vying for the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. It shouldn't be all bad. Like, yeah, we should see a couple nice throws here and there. But that's kind of all we've seen. Handful of nice throws, the same mistakes that we're accustomed to. And I just look at the group and say, okay, roster's pretty good. But how far can this group go with either of these guys?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be, you know, to see how it shakes up and shakes out and, you know, who they eventually go with. But you're right. I mean, we haven't seen a quarterback separate themselves, and that's the guy. That's the guy that can really, you know, give us confidence that Broncos could win week in and week out. But when you don't, this is the problem when you don't have a quarterback. We don't have a quarterback, Zach. I mean, you know, like, we don't have one, right? And so what do you do? You know, you're going with a young second-round pick who didn't play good last year. You're going with a, you know, an older guy that didn't play good last year. I mean, you don't have a lot of options. You know, they didn't go with a young drafted guy. They couldn't pull the trigger on a trade for more of a proven veteran quarterback. So this is where you're at. This is what you have. And this is because of the decisions that you've made as the general manager, George Payton. Right? I mean, this is how it's gone because of how he's operated, obviously. You know, I mean, if you wanted to be more aggressive and go get Stafford or do some different things like that or get Fields or Mac Jones, and he could have done that, but he was comfortable going down this road, especially in year one, which we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, both of these guys were, I mean, what were their ranks last year? I mean, they were really bad last year. So, I mean, we're not going to go out there and all of a sudden see one of these guys just like, oh, wow. Okay, man, That looks a whole lot different. And we knew that. I mean, yeah, we knew that. Well, we talked about it.
No, we did.
And we did. So this is where we are. This is kind of what we thought. I still believe that whoever does win this competition and is the quarterback, they can win football games for the Broncos. And they can lead the Broncos to, you know, 9 wins, catch all green lights, 10 wins. I really do. Now, the other guys around them have to play really good, right, obviously. But quarterback is an important position. But if you have a really good football team around the quarterback, you can, you know, manage some things and try to keep football games close. And if you do the little things and not turn it over and just make a couple plays, like, you can stay in a lot of football games.
Sure.
And you know, that's how this team's kind of built. Run the football. Just, you know, hey, you're throwing the ball. Let's throw the ball, you know, 18 to 20 times a game. We're not trying to throw the ball 30 plus times a game. We're going to be a running football team. We're going to play field position. We're going to play great defense. And that's how we're going to have to keep games close, right? Until we can, one of those quarterbacks actually show us that they can, you know, deliver and be that guy. So I just think that, you know, you can still win football games without your quarterback going out there throwing for 350 every week. And that's how the Broncos are set up. But they have to realize that.
Right.
You know, Pat Shurmur has to realize that and how he calls the game and how they operate. So we'll see if they do realize that. I'm guessing and I'm hoping that they do. You know, Vic's a defensive guy. They know where their strength is on this football team, and it's not airing it out.
So I think the question then turns to, if the quarterback play is just going to be kind of what we expected, and what we expected is getting validated out there every day at practice, it turns into, like, just how good is this roster? Because your roster better be over-the-top awesome if you're going to win on – you can win that way on any given Sunday, but can you do it repeatedly? The Super Bowl 50 season, 2015. Do you know how many games – I couldn't believe I heard D-Mac say this yesterday – how many games the Broncos won by, Richie, what was it? Was it one possession?
By seven or less.
I'll take a guess.
How many games?
It was a lot.
They won by, that was an all-time roster. That right. was awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I know you're not saying it because it's one or two, right? I'll go with 9.
11.
Oh.
You only play 16.
Right.
11
and
of
how
the
many
16?
Games did they win?
12.
Right. So,
I mean, think about how crazy that
11
is.
Of the 12.
11 of the 12 was a touchdown or less, and that is one of the great rosters we've seen in recent memory. So if the quarterback play is going to be lackluster, is this roster prepared to pull up that much slack for that position?
Right.
And we just don't know that yet.
We don't know, and we'll see. You know, coaching's got to be on point when you play that type of style of football. Everything is, you know, you can't turn it over. You got to make the right decisions. You got to make a couple plays in the passing game. I mean, you're not going to just be able to run. Couple key plays, and, you know, they were able to do that Super Bowl 50 year. But most games in the NFL are close. Now, we haven't seen that here. You know, yeah, we've been the outlier here, you know, mm-hmm. blowout city, but most games in the NFL, they come down to the fourth quarter, and it's a one-possession game usually. And that's what happened in Super Bowl 50 year, and they found ways to win those games.
Well, we will continue to evaluate this thing. We're still in the gathering clues stages. But what the puzzle pieces that we have on the table right now, you know, and we're going to talk about what your expectations were coming in compared to what you feel right now. Not great. All right. We'll circle back to that conversation. Some audio from Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater that I want to get to about this quarterback competition and checking in on it after a week of practices. But in the meantime, once upon a time, the Philadelphia Eagles took a massive PR hit to get their quarterback. Are they going to do it again? We'll take a dive into that conversation next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Once upon a time, the Philadelphia Eagles took a massive PR hit to get their guy. Franchise quarterback. Are they about to do it again? Huh. Last night, and of course, the situation I'm referencing is years ago when Michael Vick was fresh out of the can. I had to go away for a little bit, and he was fresh out, and the Philadelphia Eagles rolled the dice. And they said, we are willing to take the short-term PR hit. And there was thousands of people, you know, picketing outside the Eagles stadium, gruesome pictures of dogs, and the whole nine. And it was covered not just on sports stations, but that was a news story for a while. And then it wasn't. And then it was time to play football, and ultimately it was a decision that I think paid off for them. Well, last night, Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports tweeted, quote, source, talks are heating up between Eagles and Texans on a Deshaun Watson trade. Still some hurdles to get over, but both sides attempting to come to an agreement, end quote. Now, Chris Trapasso is not a, you know, Adam Schefter. He's not Ian Rappaport. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have his own sources.
Sure.
Think back to March 2020, Trapasso tweeted, quote, source, big name defensive lineman is about to get traded and paid, end quote. About an hour later, the Indianapolis Colts traded DeForest Buckner, traded for DeForest Buckner and signed him to an $84 million extension.
Oh.
All right.
Nice. Well.
Now, there are reports that are refuting this.
Okay.
Down in Houston, Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans, tweeted, quote, no trade imminent or developing at this time for Texans QB Deshaun Watson, according to league sources. While there is interest and teams are conducting extensive due diligence, complex legal situation, no trade clause are all difficult factors to work through still, end quote.
Okay, look, the difference here with the Michael Vick situation and this situation, you know, there's a few of them. Michael Vick, you didn't have to trade for Michael Vick. And he, you know, you just take the risk, and if it didn't work out, you could cut him, and that was it, right? I mean, you didn't give up any assets for him, so it's just a PR nightmare that you had to deal with there, and you know, he didn't have anything else hanging over his head,
correct?
Right? I mean, he was done. He was out of the can, right? I mean, all that stuff was behind him. Well, we don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. There's so much up in the air still that this thing could turn right, could turn left. It could be a complete disaster. How do you give up assets right now, not knowing, you know, what this thing's going to look like in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, you know, a year? So until it's actually settled, I have a hard time believing somebody's going to pull the trigger on this thing and give up premium assets, because Houston's is not going to give him away for nothing. They're not going to say, okay, 75% off deal right now. I don't think they're going to do that at all. So they can play the waiting game. But a team like Philly, how do you give up premium assets for a guy you just don't know his future? So that's the difference, the big, big difference here between, you know, them taking a chance on Michael Vick. They had nothing invested in that. And them taking a chance in Deshaun Watson, where you're going to have to invest a lot to get him. And you don't know, you could look really foolish, and really, really foolish.
There's no doubt about it that the opportunity here to look foolish, opportunity is not the right word. The circumstance that you could find yourself in and have egg on your face if you did a deal for Deshaun Watson and he had to, you know, go away for a little bit or whatever the circumstance.
Or get suspended.
Yeah, the league says, hey, take a season off. But could it be, and I'm not saying this is the right situation for the Broncos. I'm talking about just league-wide generality. Could it be right now that Houston has the same uncertainty and knows that if the ruling comes down, it's going to be a long time before you get that return that you would hope for? And a team that needs a quarterback could say, hey, we're going to offer them something. It's not going to be what it would be if it was a clear picture. And maybe because they're a little bit incentivized to just get this situation out of their franchise.
Right.
They need help sooner than later. And could, like, both of those, like, things being true sort of meet in the middle a little bit And maybe it
certainly
is.
Could.
Maybe it is a little bit 70, or not 75% off, but maybe 25% off.
Yeah, I guess it could. I just think that, you know, what team would trade for a guy where, you know, you just don't know anything. You don't know how this thing's going to turn out. You know, you don't know what's going to happen here. So I think unless the picture gets a lot clearer here, I can't see a team, you know, making this type of move. He could be suspended this year. He could, you know, he could be facing, you know, going to trial, could be indicted. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this thing. So I think that makes it very, very difficult for a team to make that type of move right now. I think it has to get cleared up. So I'm really not buying that report. I don't think it will happen until this mess gets cleaned up. And if it doesn't get cleaned up, who's going to trade for him? I'd be shocked if he gets traded with everything still looming over him like it is right now. I mean, I'd be completely shocked if a team made that type of move. Would you be shocked?
I don't think as shocked as you.
I'd be completely shocked.
I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised. I'm not going to act like I wouldn't raise my eyebrows. I'd be very surprised. But for the same egg that could be on your face, if it were to, you know, if he's got to go away or he gets suspended for the season, there could be an equal benefit long term for a general manager that says, we're going to roll the dice. We believe he's going to play football again. We're going to roll the dice. And when we look back, I'm going to be the GM that got Deshaun Watson for 14 years for 2 first round picks.
Yeah, it's
and I don't know which is greater, the egg on your face if it doesn't, or the upside.
Two first round picks. Wow, I couldn't see giving away 2 first round picks for Deshaun Watson right now. I just couldn't see that.
A first, a third, and a player.
Yeah, not now maybe, you know, a team might do that type of deal.
But that's 75% off to your.
Oh yeah, sure, of course, yeah. I mean, that's what it's got to be. I think to for a team to make that deal. You would have to, if you were an organization, obviously do so much homework on this situation that you feel really comfortable that, you know what, this thing isn't going very far. This thing will end here really quickly. That's what you would have to feel really good about that now. So, but besides that, you can't touch him. You just can't. But you would have to make sure and feel really good about the direction that it's heading and that he won't be charged and he will be able to play football for you here sooner rather than later.
Well, Aaron Wilson down there in Houston says no trade developing says no trade imminent or developing at this time for Deshaun Watson. While there is interest and teams are conducting extensive due diligence. So who knows? Who knows? This report kind of came out of nowhere, but I don't think Chris Trapasso of CBS is just making it up. He must have heard something.
Sure.
That maybe, you know, the Eagles are one of these teams that is really trying to vet the hell out of this situation,
right,
to get every fact, jot, tittle, and detail to this situation.
You would need to be in touch with lawyers, his lawyer, and Rusty Harden, and hey, what do we got going on here? You know, is there a chance that this thing gets settled and goes away? I mean, you would have to know all those facts before you make a move right now. Just too much up in the air.
Well, I feel like, I shouldn't say I feel like. I wouldn't be surprised. I said this to our buddy Michael Spencer and Ryan Green out there. I just said it to Richie during the break. I just would not be surprised if it's a random Tuesday here in the next few months, 1:30 in the afternoon. News breaks, Deshaun Watson settles all cases. And it's just like, yeah, I wasn't willing to get to that number before, but the leaves are changing.
Yeah. As this thing drags on, you know, the more you're likely to give in to the demand and just say, okay, whatever, I'm done with this. This thing is going on for too long. Football's being played. I need this thing to go away. And I want to be done with it. I want to move on with my life and turn over, you know, the next chapter in this book, my football career. The best way to do it is to settle. Okay, just let's do it. You know, they just wear you out. It just wears you out sometimes. So I could see that happening. Also, or just get settled.
Yeah.
And boom. Because the longer these things go on, the more it just weighs on you. Even if you know, if he views that he didn't do anything wrong, still, it just kind of like it's there. And you're not able to live your life.
Right.
So, yeah, that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. All right. Nobody works more closely with a quarterback than his offensive line. Did one of the big fellas up front for the Broncos tip their hand on who they favor in this quarterback battle? Got some audio to bounce off you coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Nobody works more closely with a quarterback than his offensive line. Did one of the big fellas up front tip their hand in who they favor? Now, you know that none of these Broncos are going to say into a microphone, "Hey, give me Drew." Hey, to be honest, I like Teddy. Drew, you know,
right.
Drew's pretty inaccurate, just to be honest. Are those microphones on? Are those recorders going? Like, you're just not going to hear it from
nope.
A player or a coach. So, we are left to put our thinking caps on, our little magnifying glass, get your trench coat, and you turn into, you know, Dick Tracy.
Right.
Columbo. Or,
yeah.
The Columbo? Yeah,
sure.
Columbo. Here's Graham Glasgow this week. He was asked his thoughts on the quarterback battle, and unlike many of his teammates, he sort of didn't ride the fence 50-50. Listen to this piece of audio.
It seems to me like Teddy's a little bit more thorough in the huddle. He's getting everybody on the same page, and that's great. You know, we get the snap count like 3 times, which is awesome. Sometimes you forget. You know, you ask the guy next to you, like, hey, what's the snap count? I usually remember, which is great. But other than that, I mean, I think that they're pretty similar. I think they both command the huddle well. Just looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out here throughout camp.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Do we have a little clue here?
I think so. You know, I don't think it's a huge clue, but I think it told us a lot anyway. I mean, I thought you were going to be reaching for something there that really wasn't there, you know, like you usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, Zach, what are you doing? You know, it's just ridiculous. It made no sense. But actually, on this one, made a lot of sense. Yes. I mean, there was definitely something there. I mean, he starts off like you like a quarterback that has command of the huddle, that knows what they're doing, that's been in it before. And, you know, you're like, hey, dice right, you know, scat right, all go. You know, why under, on two, let's go, on two, ready, break. You know what I mean? Like, you like that type of presence. And young quarter, not to say anything, you know, like Drew's can't do it, but just when you're a young quarterback, you're not thinking about that stuff. You get to play call. What do you know, you're thinking about, okay, oh my goodness, I wonder what coverage, okay, this is going to be my first read, that's going to, and then, so you just kind of roll through the play really quickly in the huddle, right? Because, you know, you're thinking so much, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why playing quarterback is so difficult.
Right.
It's just all you're doing is thinking. You're not just relaxed and able to go out there and play. And that's every position. But obviously the quarterback position, you have a lot more on your plate. Certainly sounded like he preferred Teddy in the huddle.
If you're hearing any Broncos say, I think Teddy is more blank.
Can we hear the first part of that again? Can we dial that up?
Now, again, you can put your detective hat on. We are the Hardy Boys.
I don't think you have to put your detective hat on very much for this one. I think it's there right in front of you.
It seems to me like Teddy's a little bit more thorough in the huddle. He's getting everybody on the same page, and that's great. You know, we get the snap count like 3 times, which is awesome. Sometimes you forget.
That's good. Yeah, I mean,
he's more thorough. We get the snap count like 3 times, and that's a good thing because, you know, we forget a lot. I mean, sounds like, you know, he likes Teddy, and he likes Teddy's style in the huddle.
Add it as a puzzle piece down on the table.
Teddy's a little bit more thorough.
Unto itself, it's not groundbreaking. It's not an indictment on Drew. But put it as a puzzle piece down on the table. We'll see if we get enough of these things where the puzzle pieces start to create a picture.
Well, here's what it creates for me. So if Graham Glasgow is telling you that, what is Pat Shurmur, you know, thinking about that? And what does he see and know about, you know, what guys prefer, what guys like? That's part of the, you know, determining who's going to be the winner here.
Right.
Like, maybe a little part, but like if your offensive line, like, hey, man, Pat, we really like, you know, I mean, the way that Teddy commands the huddle, you know, and how he's in there, like, they like that. We like that, Pat. You know, that goes a long way. If this thing, I mean, it's not going to win you the job. Of course not. But if this thing is close, guess what? It goes to that guy who the offensive line loves in the huddle. Like, we love what he does here. Or, you know, so if you got people going to bat for you and talking like that about you, that goes a long way, especially in a competition that's going to be close.
I'll add another layer, especially from a veteran player.
Absolutely.
This isn't Lloyd Cushenberry saying it.
No.
This is Graham Glasgow.
That's right.
Pat, what do you think about Graham's comments?
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Oh. Pat. I mean, that's an all-timer. I mean, it is, you know.
It's just like,
hey, guys, you know, I know y'all are grading out there, media members, but y'all don't know everything that we're trying to do out there. We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
And the way he said incompletions, it's like, you guys don't know anything. Yeah. We're actually trying to throw incompletions. You nincompoops can't understand that.
Right.
That's an all-timer, man.
It is thrown right up there with
22 Janos, and we're fixing to find out.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, it just kind of sums up. It just does. It just really, are you going to say that? Like, why do you need to say that? It sounds ridiculous to begin with.
Gosh.
And instead of just saying, hey, We work on different things during practice, and some things, you know, might look bad, but you know what? They're not as bad as they might look because we're trying and doing different things, right? I mean, instead of saying that, that's how you should say it, Pat. You've been a head coach twice. You don't get up there and say, hey, we're actually trying to throw incompletions. And I got it. We get it. But at the same time, it sounds awful. It just sounds awful. And when you've been a bad football team, it sounds awfuler. Okay? It just sounds awfuler when you've been a bad football team on top of that. Look, if you had Peyton Manning as your quarterback and you said that, okay, who cares?
Right? Doesn't matter.
Things are good. You know, we're working on different things here. That's what you do. But when you have had a bad product, a bad offense, bad quarterback play, you just don't say those things.
Awfuler.
More awful?
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Awful. I mean, don't say that. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's smirking, like, huh? Right. Y'all thought we were trying to complete those, but guess what? You know, y'all were wrong. We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
That's why you guys aren't coaches,
right?
And we are.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we know what we're talking about. We know what we're doing.
We might get a check-in from James Palmer today.
Nice.
Of the NFL
Network. That'd be a great treat.
Oh, he's come. Oh, okay.
Okay.
But did you realize that NFL Network gave out a Best Hair Award for the members of NFL Network?
No, but if they did, I know who won.
I don't think you do. It wasn't James Palmer.
What?
Yes. Big time controversy.
Oh.
Big time controversy.
On.
We'll discuss that with James. And we'll also, of course, from his national perspective, break down all things Broncos coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.